I want to ask you a question before I begin this message that I prepared this week. Have you felt like at times that you're always in the fast lane of traffic with your life? Anybody ever feel that? Your life is sort of always fast-paced, and it seems like that you're always on the go doing 90 miles an hour with your life, never slowing down. There's always one more thing to do, one more thing rushing into your life. If you've ever traveled literally in the fast lane of traffic, have you noticed there's always somebody riding your rear bumper wanting you to go faster? You could be doing 80 miles an hour, they want you to do 85. And they want you either to go faster or they want you to move out of the way so that they can go faster. Sunrise Highway should be called the Indy 500. You can never go fast enough in that fast lane. Well, life can be that way sometimes, couldn't it? It seems like we're always moving so fast, so out of control, never taking our foot off the accelerator when it comes to the pace of life. I want you to hold on to that thought for a moment. I'll come back to it, but just keep that image in your mind as we explore the text that Kathy just read from Mark chapter 6. Now, you may remember, that's the fast pace. Thanks, George, for doing that. I've got to put that slide up there. But oftentimes we look like that. But you might remember last week I talked about, or the scripture referenced, Jesus going from Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee up to his hometown of Nazareth, and he wasn't welcomed well when he got there. He wasn't recognized for who he was. The people in his town said, "Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this the son of Mary? Aren't his brothers here and his sisters? I mean, where does he get off as this miracle worker?" And Jesus said, because there was so little faith in that town, it was very difficult for him to do the works of ministry there, and only a few were healed. So he left Nazareth and he went village to village. And then you might recall last week I said he called the disciples unto himself. There were 12. And he sent them out in pairs, two by two, to go do the works of the ministry. Travel lightly. Don't take much with you. And go off and do the works that I have taught you. Meet their needs. So in our text this morning that Kathy just read, we see the disciples coming back to Jesus after having been out on the mission field, if you will, ministering. And here's a footnote, and I'm going to tell you up front, it has nothing to do with this message. But I've always wondered about it. Jesus was always with at least 1, 2, 3, or 12 of his disciples. He sends all 12 of them out, and I've always wondered, what did Jesus do? Did he go to Carvel? Where did he go? Did he spend time with Mary and the family in Nazareth? Did he go back up to Nazareth? Did he take a vacation? Did he take some time apart? The scripture doesn't tell us that, but I said it was sort of like a useless footnote. But sometimes I ask these questions when I read the Bible. What did Jesus do when they were out doing the works of ministry? And so the disciples report back to him. And by that illustration on the screen, they were pretty excited because a lot of things happened in their ministry. People were healed. They did preach. They did teach. They did meet the needs of the people that they ministered to. And so it was sort of like a report card moment where a student reports back to the teacher exactly what their project was all about. And so they tell them what they had done, where they went, what they had taught, the people that were healed. And remember this, doesn't say this in the text either. Jesus knew that one day he was going to leave. He knew that one day he was going to depart and he was going to have them go out to the ends of the earth to minister the gospel. And so this was sort of like a training moment, sort of an introduction, gentlemen, of what you will be doing once you're on your own, and you know we're never on our own. Of course, he sent the Holy Spirit, but save that for Pentecost Sunday. But this was a prelude to what they would be experiencing when Jesus finally leaves them. Now, here's the rub of the text. They returned tired. They were worn out, man. They went full speed ahead. They didn't rest much when they were doing the works of the ministry. It says that they couldn't even finish their time apart with Jesus. No sooner they came back, people started pressing in. In fact, if you listened to what Kathy said in reading the text, they didn't even have a chance to eat. Have you ever been on a job where you couldn't even finish your lunch? Like you brought a half a sandwich home or you threw it in the garbage because another project came in, another need by the boss. And so they could not even finish their lunch. So what did Jesus do? And here's the important point. Did he say, get back out there? There's no rest for the weary. Didn't say that. Did he say, if you're a real follower of mine, there is no rest? No, that's not what happened. Jesus pulls them away, the Bible says, to a desolate place so that they could rest. He didn't shoot them back out there to the crowds. He said, let's get away. Let's get apart. Let's get some rest. Now, the Bible doesn't elaborate, but one would assume, my friends, that the disciples were on a treadmill for a considerable amount of time. And Jesus knew it. And that's the interesting thing about Jesus. Jesus knows everything. He knows when we're weary. He knows when we're tired. Remember, he was both God and human. Therefore, he experienced all human emotions and feelings. His body got tired. He knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what pain felt like. So he could relate to his disciples. But I want to ask you this question. Have you ever found yourself on the treadmill of life? You know, I was at the gym Saturday morning, and I know it's judgmental, but there was a guy who I think was trying to impress the girls at the gym, and so he sped up the treadmill, and the next thing you knew, he was sort of like parallel to the belt. And somebody had to run over and slow the treadmill down for him because he was going to kill himself. And sometimes that looks like us. You know, we're just out of breath with everything that life throws us. Have you ever found yourself in the fast lane of life where it seems like your life is spinning out of control, out of balance? I think all of us could say yes. We've been there, done that. We've got the T-shirt. Vacations seem like 1,000 years away, and you wonder how you're going to make it through the next hour, let alone the next day, the next week, the next whatever. I would imagine many of us could identify with that image, if you will. I believe Jesus' action in our text this morning clearly points out that there is a danger in not taking time to rest with our lives. My wife is always warning me. In fact, she warned me this morning. She says, I run around like a chicken with my head cut off. Now, I've never seen a chicken with its head cut off. Maybe you have. I would imagine it's pretty fast until it hits them and they slow down. But there's a danger, I think Jesus is stating. And by the way, I'll just add this. Part of the text that wasn't read, the disciples would soon go back to work again in the fast lane. But Jesus was saying, we're going to go back in again, guys. We're going to round two, but for now, I got to pull you away from the pressing challenges and give you some time apart. The disciples were extremely tired, having been in the fast lane. They were exhausted, no doubt, doing all good things, by the way. We could get exhausted doing good things. Do you know that? We can't. We could be doing good things for God. We could be doing good things for the church. We could be doing good things for the community and still yet run out of gas and be exhausted. But it appeared there was no break for these guys, no respite. So what did Jesus do? He took them apart to a quiet place to get alone, to spend some quiet time with him, to rest their bodies, their minds, and their spirit. You see, as I already said, sometimes we could get taxed even doing the work of God. Yeah. And every time I go to a seminar for pastors, they're always warning us about that. Guy, you're no good to anybody if you wear yourself out. And we go, yeah. And we go right back and get back on the treadmill again. And I think what Jesus is saying here is, guys, you've got to slow down for a moment. Not very long. The crowds are over there. And the crowds will always be there. Just remember that. There's always going to be something pulling on us, ahead of us. People today are trying to balance their jobs. They're trying to balance their families. They're trying to balance their finances, their vehicles, their homes. People are trying to balance their lives. So we see that it's not just work alone that taxes us. It's the enormous responsibilities we have in life. All the demands that are made upon us. You know what somebody told me? This happened in New Fairfield. He was in IBM for years in the fast lane, man, fast. But he said, I'm working harder now in retirement than I did when I was working. Amen, Barbara? Yeah, I mean, sometimes when people retire, they get involved in things and they're on that treadmill just as fast as they were. And my brother and his wife are like that, by the way. They do a lot of things at the church. And so you can work hard in retirement as well. So it's a balancing act. I think that's what Jesus was trying to teach them. Now, there is a generation out there, and I talk to these young people all the time. They're called the sandwich generation. Now, these are middle-aged people who are taking care of their elderly parents and their kids at the same time. And you could see they're stuck in between those slices there in that image. And both missions are noble. To take care of mom and dad and take care of my kids all at the same time. But it's taxing. And there's another thing that's happening today where grandparents are raising their grandchildren. You know, here on Long Island, it's expensive to live. And oftentimes, the moms and dads have to both go to work in order to pay the taxes, the mortgage, and everything else to just stay afloat. And so now it's increasingly happening more and more that grandparents are now raising the grandkids while mom and dad go to work. And that could be taxing too. I know when I have a lot of my grandkids at the house, as soon as they go out the door, I do this. Thank you. Because they're full of energy, we understand that. Employers are expecting more and more from their employees. And by the way, if you are self-employed and you run a business, you know how taxing that can be. Trying to keep things afloat, trying to stay in the green or the black and not the red. So I guess all I'm trying to say is we live in a fast-paced society. And I think this example that Jesus gives us is a wonderful one. Now listen, I know today we consider the disciples saints, right? St. John, St. Matthew. But I want to tell you something. When this happened, what Kathy read a moment ago, they were just ordinary men. People, humans. And so they experienced everything that we experience when we're worn out and tired and overloaded or overburdened by life's challenges. They required relief and rest. But the good thing is, and the thing I'm going to keep reminding you of, it was Jesus who reminded them that you need to slow down. You need to rest. You can't keep going at this pace. So the psalmist writes, and I love this psalm. He says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness." Have you ever felt that? I wish I just had wings to get out of here. I just wish I could lift up and lift off and get away from this place. You might remember these guys, the animals from the 60s, all you old timers. I know Eddie remembers the animals. Where's Eddie? Eddie, you remember them. We got to get out of this place. They sang that song. And you know, there's times when we sing that under our breath. I got to get off this treadmill. I got to get out of this place. I got to slow down. I'm worn out. I can't keep living at this pace of life. The disciples needed physical rest for their bodies. They needed emotional rest for their minds. They needed spiritual rest for their spirit man. Remember, they just finished a trying assignment, only to return to the crowds pushing in again and challenging them. Now, isn't this much like real life? We just got finished with one overwhelming experience, and another wave comes, and you look like that guy. Right? You ever see somebody at the ocean? They get through that big wave, and they're waving at their family, and all of a sudden, boom! And they come up on the shore like a beached whale. Life is like that. We just got through something. We said, "Oh, thank you." Bam, we get hit with another challenge, and it knocks us over. And yet Jesus stopped them and took them away to a quiet place. We too need to learn how to find time to just be still and to recharge our batteries, to renew our batteries, if you will. We need to pull away in order to renew our physical bodies and to recharge our spiritual batteries. And Jesus knew that. In other words, I love this statement. I don't know if I came up with it or I read it somewhere. I'm going to take credit for it anyway. We have to recharge in order to charge ahead. Jesus knew that. Hey, guys, you're depleted. You need to recharge. And by the way, the next few verses, they're facing thousands of people who need to eat. We need to recharge before we charge forward. And Jesus knew that. The disciples needed a quiet, deserted place to get alone. And so I end with this. Do you have a quiet place? Do you have a quiet place? You don't have to tell me where it is, because it won't be quiet anymore. Do you take time apart to get away from the busyness of life on a regular basis? Do you realize you need that in order to remain healthy? Jesus knew it. My quiet place is the Great South Bay. That's why I feel so blessed to be living in this part of the world. People said you were so crazy, you retired out of Connecticut and you came to Long Island. Why didn't you go to Florida? No, because I love Long Island. It's the only place you can go to a pizzeria. Here's somebody, give me tree slices. You know, it's, I need that. Those are my roots. And my quiet place is the Great South Bay. Another quiet place for me is just getting alone in front of a blank canvas and throwing some paint on it and getting lost in that moment. Not for long, maybe an hour. Not hours, but it's my quiet place. Where's yours? Where's your quiet place? Jesus is asking you that this morning. And by the way, if you didn't know it, you need one to stay healthy. Amen? Amen. And so I want to pray this morning, if you would join me. Gracious God, we live in a hectic world. Just watching the news is enough to frazzle us. But it's all those things that press into our lives, especially the things that press in that we're not expecting. And it knocks us off center. And I want to just pray for anybody here this morning who's struggling, who might be going through an unbalanced moment, who's in need of a quiet space to recharge his or her batteries, to be given hope, to recharge in order to charge into the next moment. And so, Lord God, I pray for anyone here today who needs that touch this morning, that you would speak into that tumultuous space and speak peace and quiet into it. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.